Hello and welcome to The Wrestling Arena. I'm your host Paul, and on today's show we'll be discussing the new rights agreement for the WWE when it comes to their TV programming, and I'll be giving my predictions for the Royal Rumble. So, yeah, big news day today. Big news day. I've got a couple of smaller pieces, then we'll get into what I consider to be the two big pieces of news that have happened today. In reasonably quick succession, they both have to do with WWE, really. There are two smaller ones that are kind of contract related. So we'll get straight into the news. I apologise for there being no show on Sunday. I was quite ill. At one point I did think I was going to be able to do it, then I noticed that I couldn't really talk. So I decided to put it off and hopefully get my predictions out for the Rumble, which is probably my favourite pay-per-view of the year. I always enjoy a good Royal Rumble. Of course, a bad one is very bad, so there is that. But let's begin with our first piece of news. And this comes to us from Kazuchika Okada and WWE rumours. And it's been talked about lately that Kazuchika Okada is probably going to sign with WWE. First, early Tuesday rumours emerged. This is from Fightful Select. Early Tuesday rumours emerged that Okada would be headed to WWE and possibly appearing on the NXT brand first, citing sources from New Japan Pro Wrestling. However, Fightful sources closer to New Japan Pro Wrestling said that it's not the situation as they know it, at least not of right now. It was reiterated that Okada seems early in his process. One WWE higher-up said, that'd be news source at this point, and multiple sources on the NXT staff said they've heard nothing of the sort at this point. In addition, numerous people that Fightful have talked to within AEW believe they're very much in the running to land Kazuchika Okada. To reiterate, anything could happen between now and the time Okada makes a decision, but we're told by sources connected to Okada, AEW and WWE that this appears premature. Now, when it comes to Okada, I personally think he'll end up in AEW. There are certain things that AEW will do that WWE will not do. For one, do you really want someone like Okada going to NXT? And I understand you've got to learn to work the WWE style, as it were, but he's been working a very hard style for a lot of years. That New Japan style is particularly hard, particularly brutal. You end up with a lot of injuries. And I appreciate that, as Sethy in the chat says, we've got Sethy and Fran the Cannon in the chat. As Sethy said, Nakamura did do that. And look what's... I don't think you want that kind of... But then again, what I'm saying is, like, AJ Styles did not. I don't understand why Nakamura went to NXT, to be honest. I really think the Performance Center is starting to train people very, very hard to the point where they're almost getting to the main roster and then getting, like, serious injuries, like Rick Boogs, that happened to. There's been a few lately. But I just can't see Okada. The main reason is I think he'll still want to live in Japan. And AEW will allow that. And WWE, that we've seen so far, would prefer their wrestlers to relocate. That, combined with the fact he's very close to Young Bucks, I think he'll get the Will Ospreay deal, where he'll get to stay in his home country, get flown in. Yeah, true, he could use some work on his promos, but I just he can speak reasonably decent English from what I've seen. It's not tremendous, but sticking with a manager, he's mid 30s now, late 30s. 34, 35. I wouldn't want to see him spend a couple of years in in NXT and then be like, oh, now I'm 38 and injuries will start piling on. But personally, I don't mind where he ends up, because wherever he ends up is going to be a good place to watch, in theory. I just personally think it's going to be AEW, because he's going to get that, we'll fly you in from home. Not that I'm sure that's a great thing for them to be doing in the first place. But, you know, AEW is a lighter schedule. It's a heavier style, but it is a lighter schedule. Whereas, you know, he does have a TNA match airing this week, doesn't he? I can finally call it, just as I got used to calling it Impact, I can finally call it TNA, which is about right. That is true. Like, I'm not saying AEW is perfect. They do have a saturated roster. They are. He does run that risk of being a guy they pull out every 6 months to go, look at this dream match, and then you don't see him again. That is AEW's major problem. But I don't know. I think he's going to want to stay in Japan, and I don't think WWE are the type of company that are going to fly him in every time they want to use him, because I think they're going to want to use him more like every week when they want to use him. So, there were rumours that he was signing with WWE. Fightful, who have a decent track record in this sort of thing, are saying they haven't heard either way. They've basically heard, like, that was a massively premature thing. His contract does not finish up until the end of this month, so don't expect any kind of surprise Royal Rumble appearance. Unfortunately, that would be cool. Finn Balor, contract update. So, another WWE contract is set to be up this year. On January 22nd, Wrestling Inc. founder and former owner Raj Giri tweeted, Finn Balor's WWE contract is up after hashtag WrestleMania. The word I've got is that he hasn't been approved to renew yet. Fightful has confirmed with sources close to Balor that his WWE contract is up this year, but they claim it is not immediately after WrestleMania, instead saying it would be up within a few months of WrestleMania. As for WWE not reaching out about extending him, that has been the case for numerous wrestlers in WWE whose contracts are up. Balor is the current WWE Tag Team Champion. So, I don't know. If I was Finn Balor, I'm not sure what I'd do. Like, I get that this is TKO's a new company. You know, they're a new company. And they're probably treating their contracts like the UFC ones, where it's like, wait as close as you can to get the approval, to get the contract nearly up, and then renegotiate, because it puts pressure on the guy to want to sign. You know, in 3 months you're not gonna have a place to work. You better sign this. I don't know if that's the case. As you say, Seth, it could be waiting for this new TV deal. We haven't discussed that yet, so we'll talk. Well, obviously, that's obviously a bigger piece of news than this. We'll be discussing that momentarily. But he has said in the past that he does want to work with the Elite again, and again, AEW's stacked. Balor's not a huge name. If he wants to work with them, they'll probably sign him. But if I was him, depends how happy he is with how he's being used. Because for the vast majority of this run, I don't think he's been as impressive as they would have liked, or as he would have like. He hasn't been used in the way he would have liked. Now with the Judgment Day, I think he is getting used somewhat better. So there is that kind of. There is that kind of, do I stick around now that I'm being used better? And I'm not sure, like, maybe he should. Again, he's been plagued with some injuries. Maybe he wants to stick to... It's weird, though, because you don't wrestle as much in AEW, but you wrestle a harder style. But you wrestle way more in WWE. So you... it kind of does it balance out? Is one worse than the other? Yeah, you are. That is true. Sethi, Priest, Dom, and Rhea Ripley have probably overshadowed him in Judgment Day, and R-Truth to this point. R-Truth seems to be the star of that act at the moment, which is pretty funny. But if you know, maybe if he thinks he can get a better spotlight on him, you know, it's not like Prince Devitt is an unknown name he can come back to. I guess we'll wait and see. It's going to be some months after WrestleMania, and I've put the next one I have up here is. This is from Variety, so this isn't like some rumour. It's been heavily announced. This is the next piece. Dwayne Johnson, named board member of WWE parent group, parent TKO group, granted full ownership of The Rock trademark. So, The Rock is now a board member for TKO. Which is Endeavor and WWE. He's got 30 million in stock options, or in stock from them, and he owns the right to The Rock. I was under the impression he bought that some years back. I knew for a while he was renting it from Vince. But I'm surprised he didn't get access to that some time ago. So, they've also entered a services and merchandising agreement with Johnson. Under that agreement, Johnson will provide promotional, licensing, and other services to the company. So, what those other services? That to me says, you know, he's not going to be sitting there. He's already said he wants to take on more serious and dramatic roles in acting. So, does that mean we're going to see The Rock do more matches? After that massive, after his Raw appearance where he did like a couple of things and then was breathing hard, I'm a bit worried about The Rock these days, to be honest. His ability to be able to do a match is a bit strange. But I guess we'll see, because when you pair this with the other piece of news that came out today, the big news, and he could just be being used as an ambassador, and he'd be one hell of an ambassador. But to me, The Rock is an ambassador for WWE, with or without being a member of the company, if you know what I mean, because he's known as a professional wrestler first. He's as known for his acting now, but people, I suppose there is now a generation where he's just been an actor, which I never really think about. I never really think about him just being an actor to people, but I have met some very young people who had no idea he was a pro wrestler. And Fran saying, the XFL to come under TKO in the future, maybe, that wouldn't surprise me. I mean, the XFL has just teamed up with another football league. They've just merged. I think is it the USFL they've just merged with? So they've become a bigger, in theory, a bigger brand. But I can't remember the name of them because it's not the NFL, and therefore it's doomed to failure. Because any smaller company is just going to be a feeder system to the NFL. If you didn't make it in the NFL, you didn't get bought in, then you go to one of these leagues and hope they see how good you're doing there. David Walker talking about him putting on too much bodybuilding rather than cardio. Yeah, he is massive. I don't know how he's doing it. Well, I can't say that I know how he's doing it, putting on that much mass. Let's be honest. I don't care what his diet plan is. I don't care how much he works out. He's past his physical prime. He's just, you know, there's such a thing as being a genetic freak. I understand that. I just... It sort of rubs me up. Part of his brand is like be the hardest working person in the room. And I'm like, all right, okay. But you got to be on something. You know, I'm not judging you. But don't put it out like you're not doing other things to maintain that mass at your age. I can't prove that he is. I'm not saying that he is. But if it ever comes out that he is, then that might put pay to his possible presidential ambition, which keeps being floated around here and there. I guess we'll see in a few years. Not that he needs it. He's got 30 million in stock. He's got the XFL. He's got a clothing brand. He's a movie star. The Rock has his fingers in an awful lot of pies. I better not mention the word pie in relation to Dwayne Johnson. I mean, that phase was terrible. But yeah, The Rock's done very well. He's now technically the boss of Triple H, as we were saying earlier, before the show started. He's the boss of Triple H, which I'm sure Triple H loves, because there was at one point legitimate heat between at least The Rock and Shawn Michaels and Triple H at the time. So yeah, now that The Rock is on the board, whether or not it's a, we don't know what his position will actually be. He could just be a name, you know. Maybe he'll turn up at the occasional board meeting. Maybe he'll send a proxy. I guess we don't know. I would read this entire press conference, but this entire press release, it's incredibly long. It just talks about, you know, he's in films. Is he? So I will. I'll read the bit that is supposedly from The Rock. My grandfather, High Chief Peter Maivia, and my dad, Rocky Soulman Johnson, would have never thought this day would come, Johnson said in a statement, which is why I'm very humbled to have a seat at the table that has decades of history and family legacy for me, a table that my family helped to build. Being on the TKO board of directors and taking full ownership of my name, The Rock, is not only unprecedented, but incredibly inspiring, as my crazy life is coming full circle. At my core, I'm a builder who builds for and serves the people, and Ari is building something truly game-changing. I'm very motivated to help continue to globally expand our TKO, WWE and UFC businesses as the worldwide leaders in sports and entertainment, while proudly representing so many phenomenal athletes and performers who show up every day, putting in hard work with their own two hands to make their dreams come true and deliver for our audiences. I've been there, I'm still there, and this is for them. And then we had Vince saying, very few people on the planet understand the convergence of sports, entertainment, media and business like Rock. We are proud to have him join the TKO board to help take our company to new heights. So, yeah, then he goes on to talk about his history with Vince McMahon, the fact he's a movie star, all stuff that you basically know. This is a very long press release to basically say, we've got a figurehead, we've got someone we can trot out to the media and be fawned over. Not that I'm saying that's his only role, but it's certainly where I would put him. Like, oh, we need a board member to talk to, I don't know, Good Morning America. Send Dwayne. He's a good talker and people love him. So, yeah, those are, to me, the smaller of the news. The largest piece of news that we've got here is this. And I got this from the Hollywood Reporter. I did want to pull it out from places that weren't like, I don't know, Wrestling Inc. or something like that. This goes beyond wrestling. So the headline reads, Netflix nabs WWE Raw rights in major $5 billion deal. Beginning in 2025, the streaming giant will also become the international home for the WWE's full slate of live events, including WrestleMania and SmackDown. This is the big one. In a major streaming deal, WWE Monday Night Raw will leave USA Network for Netflix beginning in January 2025, with the streaming giant also set to become the home for WWE content outside of the US. the deal, which a source pegs at 10 years and is valued about $5 billion, marks a significant expansion into live events for Netflix, which will now stream Raw live every Monday night in the US, Canada, UK and Latin America, 52 weeks a year, with other territories to be added over time. Netflix will also be the exclusive home of WWE content outside of the US, including its live shows and premium events like WrestleMania, as well as documentaries and original series. This, to me, is huge. Absolutely giant. Because this is the first time since the early 2000s where I think WWE will now be easy for your average person. And I'm going to talk about the UK. That's where we're from. That's where I'm from. And I'm assuming that's where quite a lot of our audience is from. I think this will be a big boost for the UK audience, because a Netflix subscription is, if you want to pay that much, about £12 a month. And that's for the 4K package. I think if you want it with ads, it's about $4.99 a month. Which, while not free, is better than getting a BT Sports package, or back in the day a Sky Sports package, or buying events on Sky Box Office. And I think being this cheap is going to be a big wall down. First of all, Fran. So if Punk's around, it'll be Netflix and Phil. Well done. I approve. I very much approve. And then Sethy says, going to BT was a big mistake in the first place. Do you know, the reason they had to go to BT was they annoyed Sky. Because Sky paid a big amount of money to get the pay-per-views. And just after that contract was signed, they launched the network. So they'd annoyed Sky. And Sky, I don't think Sky were very happy with them at all. Once that deal was up, I think it was very much a more like, well, we're not going to pay as much, but you've already undercut us. But it's weird. Netflix is a weird one. I thought it was going to be, if it was going to go to a streamer, I would have thought Amazon. Amazon have a history of doing live events. Netflix have done live specials. They did a Chris Rock stand-up comedy special, and a Love Is Blind reunion special for, I think it was Latin America, and that did not go well. Apparently, that was very much like an old Ring of Honor pay-per-view, which was like you could saw about 50% of it live, and then it was like, oh, we've uploaded it. So it'd be interesting to see how much. I mean, you've got a year to get this right. You've got a year to get this particular thing right. To make sure that your live platform is working. Because if there are problems, you are going to hear about it. Of course, you're paying $5 billion for it. So you better hope there aren't problems too. Bonkers talking about CM Punk's posted number 5 and deleted it. We're gonna get onto my predictions for the Royal Rumble, but I really wanted. There's so much to talk about with this Netflix deal, because it's a sea change, because it's cheap. Like technically, if you're a kid who wants to watch WWE now, it's like £5 a month. It's minimum. Now, I couldn't afford, when I was, you know, 7 or 8 or 9, to get a WWE pay-per-view, that would require me to subscribe to Sky Sports for a month, which was out of my price range. But most kids these days probably going to be able to be like, oh, I can afford to get, you know, whatever pocket money I'm getting, I can get Netflix for a month. It is weird that Netflix have paid $5 billion when anything that I seem to like, they cancel after the first series. So it gets a bit much. I was going to... Well, to be fair, I was very close to cancelling Netflix when I changed my TV deal. I changed my cable provider, and that provided me with Netflix for a couple of years. It's like, okay, so I've got, I'm all good. Oh, well, Sethi, there you go. I didn't even know you couldn't get Sky Sports for a month back in the day. I definitely convinced my people that raised me to sign up a few times. So maybe they signed up for 3 months at a time. I can't remember. But it is an added value to Netflix. But the interesting thing to me, the real interesting thing is, we're never going to hear about ratings again. Because it doesn't matter. It's not a thing. There's no Nielsen ratings for Netflix. Netflix do not release, this is how many people watched our program. Netflix care about number of minutes watched. Which means to me, the show is going to be a lot different. I doubt you're going to open up with a promo much anymore. You're not going to have to wait till the top of the hour to get, I watched Raw, but I remember waiting to see CM Punk's first interview when he came back. And I had to wait till the end of the show because they want that bump at the end of the show and at the top of the first hour, top of the second hour. And now it's just kind of like, you don't need any of that. You just need people to watch. So you want to start hot every time. Fran saying, I'm guessing the back catalogue will be on there too. Nobody has said anything like that at all. I'm very worried the back catalogue will just disappear. Because apparently, when it comes down to it, not that many people watch it. Apparently, it's always the new stuff that is like miles ahead on charts. Like, I want WCW, I want ECW, I want the old territories. But apparently, that's the minority. They could, in theory, just knock that on the head. Netflix do not have a good way. As it stands right now, they're very different. When you log into something like Disney Plus, you log into Disney and there are buttons: National Geographic, Star Wars, Disney, Pixar. I'm sure there's another one, but Marvel, obviously. And you click on there and it just takes you to just Marvel stuff or just Star Wars stuff. Can't you tell what I watch? Or just National Geographic stuff. Netflix don't do that. So will it just become one of the drop-down things where you push down? And if that's the case, how long is that thing going to be? Are you going to click on, you know, is it just going to be this week's Raw, this week's SmackDown, and the further you go back, it's just Raw and SmackDown, or... I just don't think... I think Netflix is going to have to seriously think of a way to separate everything if we're getting the back catalogue. I really hope we are, because I do not want to try and chase down old WCW events and all that kind of thing, because, I'll be honest with you, that's the stuff I watch most. Obviously, I do Turn of Years, which, again... is still returning. We're looking for a podcast studio to do it in, because it's just become untenable to do it here. They do have categories, but Sethi saying they do have categories, but you understand what I mean? There's so much content for WWE. It's like, I do not want it to end up like it is apparently on Peacock, where it's just, you know, Royal Rumble 74, like 32 or whatever it is, and you have to figure out what year was that, or... And they have just scrapped the home video service, but apparently that was getting pretty bad. Apparently that was, like, selling in a couple of thousands or 3,000 or 4,000, which at that point it becomes, like, what's the point, keep going with this? When it used to be, obviously, a major source of income. But it's very, it's such a crazy thing to think that they're on Netflix. I thought they were going to go to Amazon if they were going to go to a streamer. I even thought they'd go to Disney before they'd go to Netflix, because, you know, as I said, Disney do have the different sections, and Netflix do. They just, it's almost like you need to load up and it'd be like, do you want Netflix or do you want WWE? That's hopefully what you want. You don't want it to just be like, oh, it's the seventh thing down, and then it's a billion things on that line, if you know what I mean. It's just, I can understand why they've done it. I can understand certainly why Netflix have done it, because they want to get into live programming, and WWE are masters of live programming. I do wonder if this is why, I nearly said Pete Dunne then, Kevin Dunne was decided to leave, that they were going to go in this direction, and he was like, oh, it's not really, you know, I don't want to work with a streamer, it's not what I want to do, but I want to work with TV. He was apparently always very much like a traditionalist, so we say. He didn't really want people to know he worked on wrestling. He wanted people to think he was a producer. He just referred to himself as a producer and let people think he worked in film, apparently. But that is, there've definitely been rumours that Netflix have been trying to get into this thing, Sethi. I've got no problem there. I thought they'd get some football. Like Amazon have got some football. I thought they'd try and get maybe the NFL. Kevin Dunne wanted to be a TV producer, not a wrestling producer. But I'm very intrigued. They've got a year to get it sorted. I hope we get all the old stuff, because the old stuff's what I care about. I like the new stuff, and I will certainly watch. You know, I'll watch more of it. I'll probably watch more of it now if it's on Netflix than I will trying to get it through BT and all that, and messing around and finding methods, shall we say. But I hope it goes well. To me, it's a massive opportunity to get it in front of an audience. A much larger audience than it's been in front of for years. Because we're still paying for the network. That's what... Let's say it's $9.99, because that was the number they trumpeted every week for years. That goes away for us. I've already got a Netflix account. And if there's other people like that didn't have the network and are now like, oh, WWE's on here, let's give it a go. They've had some stuff recently on Channel 5, I think, that's been like some recap shows like they used to be on Sky 1. I don't know if those deals are still going on. But it's very interesting to think that they got into their own streaming service and then realised that's not where the money is. Because keep in mind, they thought they were going to get... I can't remember the number they thought they were going to get in the millions. Let's say they thought they were going to get 10 million and they got something like 7 million or 5 million. So they got about half what they thought they were going to immediately get. And it never really reached the point they were happy with. So I understand them getting out of it. I'm just a bit, I don't want to say concerned, because it's not a concern. I'll just be a bit gutted if all of a sudden it's like, yeah, you get this year's WrestleMania, and you get everything from this year onwards, but you don't get anything from before then, because we don't have a way to get it. And this is what AEW should have done from the start. You are right, Sethi, but I think getting in front of a TV audience to start with was pretty smart. I just can't understand how they're not on HBO Max in the US. Because... They've got a thing with Warner Brothers Discovery. You say you need more than just wrestling on a streaming service, but there is the NFL Network that is just American football. There is an NHL that is just ice hockey. There's an NBA that is just basketball. There is a Major League Baseball which is just baseball. It's just, the fact of the matter is, wrestling's not that popular. wrestling's not as popular as the, certainly not the NFL. It might be more popular than hockey. But then again, you know, things get bumped to put hockey games on because they're seen as more important because they're legitimate sports, you know what I mean? Like they're. So all these apps do have their own thing that is just their sport. It's just I think they overprojected what they were going to get, which is a shame because there was a trailer for the WWE Network about 2 years before it came out because they were like, we're going to get out next year, and then they realised they've got to digitise like all their stuff. The early days of the network were crazy because certainly in this country you went from we have nothing apart from, you know, the old Coliseum home video stuff to, oh, we've got everything, like every event that's ever been on and a constantly streaming channel. Because I VPN'd it, I got it the day it came out in America and VPN'd it here to check it out, and that was pretty nuts. But yeah, Netflix, I've been looking to get in. I guess we're going to have to... Here we go. Mark Shapiro. This deal is transformative, said Mark Shapiro, TKO president and COO. It marries the can't-miss WWE product with Netflix's extraordinary global reach and locks in significant and predictable economics for many years. Our partnership fundamentally alters and strengthens the media landscape, dramatically expands the reach of WWE, and brings weekly live appointment viewing to Netflix. I wonder what Peacock are thinking about this. Because obviously we don't have Peacock. All Peacock stuff ends up on Now TV. Because... No, Peacock stuff... I'm thinking HBO Max, which... Anyway, Peacock stuff ends up disseminating. We don't have Peacock over here because... Is it CBS? Isn't a thing over here. But certainly in America, they've paid to basically get the network on their streaming service. And when that deal ends in apparently 2026, are they just going to end that and put everything on Netflix worldwide? Can certainly see it for $5 billion over 10 years. So we've got a year to figure out what that's going to be. I'm really hoping we get the Vince documentary. We get the Vince doc. Fran, I'm worried for Tony Khan's blood pressure right now. I'm wondering if there's going to be some kind of an answer. Surely he could just say, "Oh, put me on HBO Max, at least in America." Because I don't think anybody else has streaming rights to... Oh, Fight do, don't they? I wonder if a Fight deal is stopping them putting it on some kind of streaming service. I've not considered that. That could certainly be why they're not on a streaming service. I hadn't considered that. And earlier this year, I had a recurring yearly payment that was going to happen every year from Fight or whatever it's called now, Triller TV, whatever they've changed the names of Fight to, and that was automatically cancelled. They just cancelled it. I'd already paid. I got the year, and then they cancelled the recurring bill. I wonder if that is because they're planning on moving over to another streaming service. Be a bit rough for us in the UK because we have to wait to ITV, which is several days behind. At least Raw's going to be live, because one of the concerns I had when I heard about this was like, oh, Netflix don't really do live stuff. I really hope it's not taped, because I know TKO have been looking into, I don't want to say downgrading, but certainly minimising the costs of production. And if you want to minimise costs, the one thing you can do is start recording them. I think they've found Netflix, and Netflix have gone, we want it live, because we want live sports. which is good, because the last thing you want is like, we taped 5 weeks of Raw, because I was around back then. The internet wasn't really around back then. I was around when you'd get rumours of stuff that happened, and then it would happen because somebody had hold of, you know, the Observer, and you found out spoilers that way. Now it'd just be everywhere immediately. But a massive deal for WWE. In the UK, you need a TV license if you're watching live broadcast TV, even on streaming. I thought that was only for the BBC, if you're watching live BBC broadcasting. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm paying for my TV license anyway, because sooner or later I'm going to watch something on the BBC. Doctor Who will start back up again soon. I was aware they closed some of that loophole with streaming, because everyone was just like, I'm not paying TV license, I stream everything. That's interesting, but even that, it's still cheaper than paying your TV license and then having to pay whatever you were paying for BT or Sky Sports. So yeah, what do you guys think about it? What are you looking forward to with this Netflix? Do you agree with me to about the way? Do you think Raw's going to change? Do you think WWE programming is going to change? Because they no longer have to. I mean, the thing that I'd do, I'd knock an hour off Raw straight away. That third hour of Raw is killer. And now you don't need advertisers. So if you watch live TV through, if you watch it through a TV and connect it to a TV, if you watch it through a TV, so if you connect it to your console or computer to a monitor, that's interesting. I didn't know that was the thing. Like I said, I pay for it anyway, because I'd rather just have it, and yeah, I'm going to worry about someone knocking on your door and all that kind of thing. I mean, I'd knock an hour off Raw. I mean, I imagine they'd pay for 3 hour Raws, but it'd be great to knock an hour off Raw, make it infinitely more watchable. I mean, you could knock an hour off Raw and do a third hour of something else. It's not like it's not going to be there. Interesting. So yeah, so we've got some discussion about the TV license in the chat room and what loopholes you can use to maybe circumvent it. Not circumvent it, but whether or not you need it or don't need it. I've never understood it. I've just paid up. I mean, even the BBC reported on this Netflix deal, which is crazy. But to me, that's the biggest news of the week. That's the biggest news of the day, the Netflix deal. Because we kept waiting to see where they were going to go. There were rumours they were going to try and get on Warner Brothers, which would have probably dealt significant damage to AEW. I mean, so Fran's saying she's more likely to sign up to Netflix after this news. Yeah, perfectly. I hope they do the right things with it. I hope they treat it like a new format, as I say. Don't open with a 20-minute promo. Do more. I don't want to say cinematic, because that brings up things like the Swamp Match and stuff like that. But things like the Pete Dunne and the Big Strong Boys, where they were they appeared to be in like a bar and they were chatting that way. I mean, that was quite well done. I hope that we get more of that with Netflix. I don't know why being on Netflix would change that. To me, I'd knock an hour off Raw and provide another program. Yeah, The Rock has had a few Netflix movies. Here's the thing: if I was Netflix, I'd be like, we've got to deal with The Rock. Raw's starting soon. Can we get The Rock on like the next pay per view or that kind of thing? He's going to want to do it because he's a member of the board. He wants that company to do well. It's whether or not he can go at however old he is. He's got to be getting close to 50 now, if not over. But yeah, anyway, that's the Netflix news. And now I'll be getting on to my predictions for the Royal Rumble. So, it takes place this Saturday. Well, Sunday morning for us, but for the... If you heard on Raw that... Hi, Eddie. I may still be on. We're just getting through to discussing the Rumble. I've been talking about... we've talked about the Netflix stuff and The Rock becoming a member of the WWE board. So all that stuff, you've missed all that, but I may still be on in 20 minutes. I'm going to try and put together a Rumble. So, where was I before I got distracted? We've got the Royal Rumble's coming up Saturday, or for us it's Sunday morning. Gunther on Raw said it was Sunday, and Michael Cole couldn't have said, oh, it's Saturday, more than he did very quickly, because, I mean, it's the traditional WWE pay-per-view day Sunday, so I completely get where Gunther's coming from, but very short card, or it could be a very short card. There are, right now, 4 announced matches, unless I missed something on Raw, there are 4 matches. First of all, for the WWE United States Championship, we've got Logan Paul versus Kevin Owens. Hello, Robert Dinkins. I think that Logan Paul has been doing a pretty decent job carrying this title. And I don't mean that in wrestling, because he hasn't done any, but it is all over social media. It's everywhere he goes. He's getting people to come onto his podcast, take photos with it. So, in that way, he's raising that kind of prestige of the belt, if that's not really the right word. I think he might keep it. I think they'll keep it on him until WrestleMania. Kevin Owens is a good guy to keep it on. Let him have a match with. And we'll see what happens there. I think we're going to end up with maybe Sami Zayn versus Logan Paul at Mania. Keep that ticking over. Well, I guess we'll see. But it should be a good match. Logan Paul's not had many bad matches, much to my chagrin. I honestly thought it was going to be terrible. But he's been quite good in the ring. Then the second match that is for the Undisputed WWE Universal Championship. Roman Reigns versus AJ Styles versus Randy Orton versus LA Knight. This has blatantly been put together as a four-way so that Roman doesn't have to pin Randy. They can leave Randy to a later opponent for Roman. So to me, it's either AJ taking the pin, or more likely, unfortunately, it's AJ LA Knight taking the pin. But Roman's winning this. It's not even... Let's not pretend. He's just passed one of Bruno's records. The next one's too far away. I think it's years away for Bruno. I think he's just passed his second title reign, or his second longest. And if he keeps it till September, he'll pass Hogan's longest. But to me, I think LA Knight's taking the pin here. It's been pretty well set up, to be fair. It's just I'm just done. I just want someone to beat him, because the story was done at last year's WrestleMania. I know I say this all the time, but the story was done at last year's Mania. They just dragged it out, and it would be fine if Roman appeared, because when he appears, it feels like something. It's just he never appears. He wrestled like 7 matches this year for the title. And he's like, I don't care about your big magical, he's reigned this long number. Unless it's like he's also been defending it. It doesn't matter. Cody should have won last year. You're right, Robert Dinkins. You are right. Fran saying anyone but Roman, but it will be Roman. Yes, exactly. Then we're going to go on to the women's Royal Rumble match, which announced it's been Bayley, Becky Lynch, Nia Jax, Bianca Belair, Maxine Dupree, Ivy Nile, and 24 more to be determined. Interesting. I would like it to be I'd like it to be Bayley. I think it's going to be Becky. I've really enjoyed the Damage Control storyline where she's been getting sort of pushed out. I think that's been, but they do not care about Io's title reign. They haven't cared about Io's title reign. So why would you make that the big Royal Rumble thing? I think they're going to move towards Becky against Mammy. The man versus Mammy is, I think, what they're going to do. Which will be great, don't get me wrong. I think your final four for that are probably going to be Bayley, Becky, Nia, and then let's see if you get Mercedes to sign. I mean, if they did it with Punk, it could be. I mean, I expect Naomi to appear, but Naomi will be a nice like mid-range, sort of like a mid, like 15 to 20 surprise of like, because while she's done, I mean, Naomi's great. I just don't think she's going to be treated like a gigantic star when she comes back to WWE. I think she'll be treated a little better than she was being treated before. I think she'll be treated mid. I think she'll be, and that's not her fault. I think she's very good. I think she was extremely good in TNA. I thought it did her really well. I thought she did TNA like a lot of good service. I just don't think WWE are going to see her as that top person if they can get Mercedes Moné back in, or Sasha Banks, sorry. And yes, it's been said that like talks broke down and whatever. But this is the company that sprung CM Punk on us after saying, oh, no, we're not interested, it's not happening. So I think it'd be Becky. And depending on if they can get Mercedes, I think it's going to be Becky, Bayley, Nia. I'll say Naomi for the last one, but only if they can't get Mercedes. If they get Mercedes, I think she'll be last. And I think it's going to be Becky. And the thing is, with there only 4 matches, provided they don't stick another couple on, these Rumbles could last a while. They don't want it to last too long. But, you know, a Rumble match usually lasts an hour, a little over an hour. You could make them last, you know, 75, 80 minutes if you wanted to, and really break the whole Iron Man record or Iron Woman record. I'm not saying you should, but the fact there are only 4 matches so far, and they could advance 2 more on SmackDown or whatever. But I think, I'm going with Becky. I think that's pretty much locked in for me. The thing is, though, with this Rumble and with the Men's Rumble, I think there are a few who could win it, and people would be happy. Like, I'd be happy if I'm happy if Becky wins it. I'm happy if Bayley wins it. You know, it'd be interesting if Nia Jax won it. To be honest, it'd be interesting. I'm not saying the match would be good, but it'd be an interesting story to go through to, because Becky put her over huge. So for her to win, it wouldn't be a surprise, is more what I'm saying. It wouldn't be like, oh, what on earth? It wouldn't be the best thing they could do, in my opinion. So Bonkers FC, my final four is Naomi, Becky, Bayley, and Jade. Jade Cargill. See, I haven't considered Jade Cargill. I imagine she'll be in there because why not? She can turn up, chuck someone out. Could be a first feud for her. And even if she's not ready, she can turn up and chuck someone out. Then she gets chucked out and you don't see her again for a bit. Yeah, I expect Jade to turn up. Man, this Rumble's going to be fun. I just feel like there's so many different things they could do. And they can finally get back to the niche in the 80s where you'd set up at least one mid-card feud of like, oh, so-and-so threw so-and-so out. Maybe they'll have a match somewhere down the line. For years, it seemed like the only thing that mattered is who won. And that is the major thing that matters. But it used to be you'd set something else up as well. Tag team partners would turn each other and that kind of thing. But I'm going to go with Becky. I think the final two is Becky and Nia, if Becky's winning. And Becky can dump Nia to get the big win. And then we've got the men's Royal Rumble match, which is CM Punk, Cody Rhodes, Shinsuke Nakamura, Bobby Lashley, Drew McIntyre, Gunther, Chad Gable, Otis, Akira Tozawa, Kofi Kingston, Damian Priest, and 19 more to be determined. That should really be to be announced, but here's the thing. Until Raw, I would have given CM Punk a better chance of winning this. Now that Raw's happened, and Seth is hurt, although he says he's going to go to Mania, I'm not sure if you want Punk to go in there against an injured babyface, because then you'll just get Punk booed by more people. Or you want to keep both those there's three babyfaces that are huge. Like, do you want to keep on Raw? Punk's a big babyface. Cody's a big babyface. And Seth's big babyface. I haven't really been behind this Seth title run. He comes out looking like a massive quality streak. Annoys the pants off me. But, you know, the guy's hurt and he's working hard. I'm not having a go at the guy personally. It's just I thought the idea of bringing in the world title again was silly to begin with. But fair play on him for trying to get it out. Hopefully he doesn't get too much hurt, two more hurt. I'm really interested to see who dumps Gunther, because that's going to be a big thing. My final four for this match are CM Punk, Cody Rhodes, Drew McIntyre, Brock Lesnar. I think Brock is going to be back at the Rumble. I think they're going to say, we don't have Seth's hurt, we need something in there to hey Mr. Priceless. I think my final four, like I said, is going to be Punk, Cody, Drew, and Brock. I think Brock, there's rumours Brock has been approached to come back. I think that's a perfect place to put him, especially if you put him number 30. You put in number 30 and you cause the two big baby faces of Cody and Punk to have to take him out. I think that's the way to go. And you have, if Seth can't go for Mania, because they could just leave him off Elimination Chamber. Although, that would be difficult considering that you do not have Roman for Elimination Chamber. I'd be kind of gutted if I was going to. Is it Perth? I think it's Perth. I think it's I'd be gutted if I was going to that, because it'd be great, don't be wrong, but you're not getting a Universal title match. Of course, Rhea's the draw for the Elimination Chamber. Yeah, I forgot she's Australian. That's really weird of me. She is but you're not. Yeah, I suppose you can give them a women's title match, but the entire division has been made to look secondary to her. So you've really got to build something up for that. Maybe the winner of the Rumble faces her there. I suppose it's a chamber match. You just chuck everyone that was in the final four or final five for that to work. But yeah, okay. I think that Punk and Cody take out Brock. Drew takes out Punk if Seth is not going to be available. And then Cody wins it by dumping Drew. And I think we get the repeat of last year. I don't think we get Punk. That's interesting. Yeah, 10 a.m. for Elimination Chamber next month for the UK fans. I hadn't considered that either. Tom and Nick Mysterio in the final four. Well, that's two places in the final four. I'm not sure if Tom and Nick are going to be good enough, man. I mean, Tom's pretty good, but Nick, he does my head in. Far too many super kicks. But yeah, again, there's so many fun things in that. Who eliminates Gunther? You could make it that Brock eliminates Gunther, and you put those two against each other. Although putting Brock in there for the IC title, I know I keep talking about Brock. I just think it's a good place to put him back in. It's been talked about. Maybe he's coming back. To me, it's. I mean, Gunther had that thing where he was saying, "I'm going to win the Rumble, and I'm going to take you on, and you're already injured." Oh, if they got Nicholas back to pay Nick Mysterio. He never got beat for his tag title, though, so he that'd be great. He was one of the referee's sons, was he? I can't remember who he was, but Gunther, you think, yeah, Gunther will get eliminated by Brock. I can't see. I'd like it to be Chad Gable. I really would. They had such good work. Or of course the other one, who I imagine is probably due a return by now, is Sheamus. You have Sheamus and eliminate Gunther. And then John Cone's son, yes it was. You have, I imagine Sheamus comes in and eliminates Gunther. And you get them at Mania. And Sheamus finally wins his IC title there. John Cohen. Let's say Don Cohen. Sorry, that's what I get for reading things. Yeah, the more I think about it, it's probably going to be Sheamus. He must be getting ready to come back. They wouldn't have mentioned the Brawling Brutes aren't a thing. I mean, I'd love to see Gunther versus Brock. I really would. Pete and Tyler dump Gunther for an IC three-way. That'd be amazing. Maybe a Sami Zayn return. I mean, flipping out. That's what I'm saying. There's so much in this Rumble where, like, previous Rumbles, it's like, oh, one of, like, three people can win this. And don't be wrong, it's pretty much down to either Punk or Cody, isn't it? They're going to win this one. But if they wanted to, yeah, it does feel good to say Pete Dunne. I'm a bit disappointed with the pop, because they tried to get a big pop out of the Pete Dunne reveal. I imagine Collision is going to get sorted this Saturday, which is a shame, because. Oh, God, what's his name now? Is the Edge match this week on Collision? They could do a double. If they do a double, they're doing it with Rock, aren't they? If The Rock's in this and he does a double with Cody and you get three-way, that's the thing. The Rock could be in this. He's only got to turn up for a bit. I kind of hope that doesn't happen. I don't want Cody's win to be overshadowed by The Rock being in the match. I like The Rock, but his stuff doesn't need to be the belt. Ah, sweet, so... Should be good. Yeah, there's so many ways they can go with this this match. I mean, another thing they've done, which I hope that I really hope they do this on SmackDown, because they've done this the last couple of years. They've laid out like everyone that can be in this match. Don't do that. Hopefully, because obviously the regime change, you don't get a big graphic where like here's another 20 like. There are 19 more people to be announced for the Rumble. If they do a graphic where 17 of them get announced for the Rumble the next day, and for the women's one, you know, 22 get announced. We haven't really talked about any surprises for the Rumble, for the ladies' Rumble. Who any big returns waiting for that? Who's been injured for a while? It is true that every 10th wrestler, AJ Lee would be a cool return for the Rumble. But again, she doesn't have to do much. She was in that wrestling show with the guy from Arrow though, and CM Punk. Heels. Yeah, she wasn't. So maybe she could come back and do a few bumps. That'd be very cool. That'd be a good pop. I'm so happy to be like, oh, there's so many different things they could do with this, rather than it's going to be one of these two people and nothing else really matters, because I care about who eliminates Bayley, because that was set up. That'll probably set her up against Damage Control even more. I care about who eliminates Gunther. I care about who returns, because that's also... Ty Dillinger would be an interesting one, because he's one of Cody's guys. I wonder if they just give him number 10. I see Liv Morgan coming back, because that arrest was... For very little. Naomi, we did talk about Naomi, yeah. Tiffany Stratton for NXT, they're very high on her. So they do need some more people to fill in some numbers. And then hopefully they're not just going to like phone up, you know, I love her, but hopefully they're not just going to phone up Molly Holly and flipping Undertaker's wife, whose name I can't think of right now. Oh God, what's her name? Oh, it's going to really irritate me. You know what I mean, though. She's come in the last couple of Rumbles and absolutely dominated for a while. Michelle McCool, thank you. I was really going to bother. I was like, no, it's not her. I had loads of different names. She was like, nope. Michelle McCool. You know, I like seeing these returns, people, but you got to space them out. You got to... I mean, Layla's pretty hurt. Like, she's... I think she said she was done. Like there was an injury that just would just take her out from coming back in. Oh, Taker's in town for his... Okay, Michelle's coming in then. I've had a real problem with it. They've done it quite a lot. But yeah, I can't think of any... There's no tag matches. There's no tag title match on this. That might be announced on SmackDown. They need something. Stephanie. I can't see that. I mean, she has been backstage a few times. Maybe Shane again. I mean, was it the last Rumble got him fired? was at the Rumble before then, but like, I can't imagine he wants his last appearance to be, "I really hurt my knee on a leapfrog." Hi, Eddie. We've just finished discussing the Rumble predictions. So we're getting the women's tag team title match in the week. So whoever wins that, they'll probably get set up against someone else. They've got to announce something, unless they're going to make these matches go a little longer. Do you think we'll get Trish? Trish has just finished her run. I don't know if we'll get Trish again till maybe next year. You don't want to overexpose people. Liv should come back. I do feel bad for her. It was like a little marijuana, wasn't it? Which a lot of places it's legal, so I can't imagine the company are holding too much of a grudge against her. Alexa would be the one. That'd be a big risk. She is waiting, isn't she? She's healthy. I think she's just waiting. So Alexa's probably a big one. That'd be a big entrance. I can't see anyone other than Becky or Bayley. And I'm just leaning more towards Becky the more I think about it. 24 more people though to be announced. I hope there's some. I mean, we've come up with some good surprises here. Alexa's on maternity. I knew there was something. I should have remembered. Mickey, as you say, she's in OVW as a coach, but OVW are no longer associated with WWE. This is what I'm thinking. Maybe they're going to do an hour and a bit for the Rumble so you can break some of those records and be like... Rey Mysterio still own the record for the longest in the Rumble. I haven't seen this year's Rumble video for 21 years. For 20 long years, the Warlord held the record for... I mean, Santino's in TNA, isn't he? As Santino, which is really weird. I wonder if he had to become a member of the TKO board to allow himself to get the Santino name. Gunther did break it last year, and it was awesome. Yeah, we can't have any breaking Gunther's record, because Gunther's awesome. Very strange. It's strange to be looking forward to the actual Rumble matches this much. Yeah, I was talking about that earlier, Fran, that you don't want to get to SmackDown and be like, here is 22 of the 24 people. Okay, as I said, there were 19 more men. You don't want to announce 17 more of them. And then you get two surprises. I don't want to know, because you've got a big enough roster where, you know, not everyone's going to be a surprise. Yeah, I've gone through my final four. Who do we think is going to last the longest in the two Rumbles? I think you're going to get Iron Woman. I think we're going to get Bianca's going to last quite a long time in there. And Iron Man, I think you're going to end up with... I'm going to say Punk, because Cody did it last year. Sethy, you've got an awful rumour. What's your rumour? I think we're gonna go for Punk in the men's Rumble. I mean, I got annoyed. Eddie Hickey. They should never reveal Royal Rumble competitors. I got annoyed in '92 when there was one person left, and he's like, "And this won't be a surprise. It is the Warlord." And I'm like, "Ah, dude." There's no way. Hogan. The rumor has come from Hogan. Because Hogan's saying, I might have one more in me. And that is specifically to keep himself being talked about. There is no way Hogan could take a bump over the top rope to the floor. No way. So we're all right there. Shayna would be a good Iron Woman. Yeah, there's no way Seth would hit Hogan. I'd be very surprised if he's in another match. Eddie's saying R-Truth would win the Rumble. I'm liking R-Truth stuff, I really am. It's just, it's so close to the Sami Zayn Bloodline stuff for me. And I know this is a more comedic thing, but it's like, oh, you got a group trying to be serious and this guy that, you know, most of them don't trust. It's like, you could have left that another year. And I think Bianca's going to be the Iron Woman, because they're going to want to keep her strong. They're going to keep people thinking she's good. Oh, Vince at number 30. Sethy. I can't see it. Fran, Bo Dallas. Wouldn't surprise me. He was playing Uncle Howdy, wasn't he? And they obviously can't use that character anymore. So he's probably still under contract. It'd be a nice pop for some people. If Vince came out, flipping heck. No, he'd get popped. He'd get a pop. That's the thing. I keep thinking that crowds would be like, boo! But they pop, they bow. All this sort of stuff. He is in better condition than Hogan. Jesus. I'm just thinking, of all the Rumbles, you could put together a truly awful Royal Rumble, couldn't you? You could be like, oh, Bastion Booger, he was supposed to be one of the Royal Rumbles. Vince, Shane, flipping, you know, Mabel. I wouldn't want Vince. I don't want Vince anywhere near the product. I don't want him booking. I don't want him appearing on TV. I want him gone and as close to forgotten as he can be. Pete Rose. I mean, you could do anyone. Have they announced anyone going into the Hall of Fame yet for this year? Because that would be a good way to announce a Hall of Famer. Have them come out for the Rumble, do a couple of eliminations, and then on the way to Mania and be like, oh, this guy's going to be in the Hall of Fame. And you might have seen him at the Rumble. Or Bad Bunny. They did Bad Bunny a couple of years back, though. Or was it last year? Road Dogg or Booker T? Nah. Steve Blackman. I'd love to see Steve Blackman doing anything. Because that man is just nuts. Was it last year? See, this is the thing. They all kind of bleed together for me. The last couple of years. I'm not sure why. Last year's was Titus. Only if he does the slide. Only if he slides under the ring. Or climbs out from under the ring. Like that's where he lives now. Although, that's one swaggle, isn't it? Oh, damn. Shamrock should be going to the Hall of Fame, so maybe they do that. No, Kane needs to stay away from everything. Kane's too busy being the mayor of Knoxville and endorsing, you know, Donald Trump and talking about how vaccines don't work and all that. Hornswoggling his AJ Styles gear. AJ needs to cut that hair, man. He just does. Yeah, I think no Hall of Fame yet from Priceless. So it's in Philly. So Heyman, Shamrock, Batista. Batista's probably up there. Regal's kid's starting some work with New Japan. He's part of their cross promotional stuff with New Japan. He's going to be doing some work over there. So I can't see him being in the Rumble. John Laurinaitis, nope. For the same reasons I don't want Vince anywhere near the product. Eddie just trying to fill out my terrible Royal Rumble, I imagine. Is it All Japan? My apologies. I know that WWE are trying to reach. I often do that. I often say it's New Japan when it's All Japan, or All Japan when it's New Japan. Pretty sure I've done that a couple of times when I'm talking on Turner Years. And it's like, oops. No, we can't have Teddy Long in the Rumble. He's trying to make a tag match halfway through. That'd be a cool spot, though. sort of the too cool dancing spot. Scotty Too Hot, he is working as a producer for AEW, so can't see him. APA, maybe. I mean, Ron's getting up there a bit. Ron is getting quite up there. Oh, APA, well done. They better not do the announcers again. I'm not putting up with Michael Cole or Jerry Lawler. They've got too much talent right now to bother filling it with, like, Lawler. And, oh, JBL's still around. I don't see the point in putting someone like that in the Rumble. He puts, like, they've been in a few times, like Lawler has and Cole has. McAfee, I could see that. Interesting. But, yeah, I'm picking Cody for the men's Rumble. I'm picking Becky for the women's Rumble. We've heard how my final four are going to be. We've talked about who Iron Man and Iron Woman are going to be. Awesome Kong's too hurt. She's totally retired. I thought Bonkers FC. I thought Heath Slater re-signed with TNA/Impact. Because he's a guy I'd put back out there because his character is fondly remembered by people. I was going to say Kong's proper retired. Bron Breakker I could see coming out to dominate a few people. It's going to be a very interesting Rumble. But I'm really going to have to wrap this up, guys. It's been a pleasure talking to you all. I'll obviously be back on Sunday night to talk about what happened at the Royal Rumble. And we will we'll reconvene then. I'll talk about what happened in the Rumble, what I think is going to happen at Elimination Chamber, who I think is going to be in the Chamber matches. And we'll go on from there. Sorry I haven't talked much AEW. It's been a very dominated WWE week so far. And I'm sure some AEW news will come out between now and next Sunday, and I'll talk about that then. We'll see if they've got any kind of response to the Netflix deal. I can't see it being that quick. Thanks very much, Eddie. I've been Paul. And I'll see you next time.